Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome back again to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love all lesser values to me. Just slide into the valley and into the no man's land of BS. You know what that is, right? It's bait and switch. It's saying something that's just trying to control or manipulate or even a punishing thing that seeks to give you the idea that whoever's given you the BS is powerful. They're strong enough to strong arm you into an agreement. So when we get into the BS side of life, we have departed from the shorelines of love. We have left the continent of love. You and I were not created to be BS'd or to give BS. We are here to give love, to live love, to stay, as I'm going to share with you today, rooted and grounded in love. To me, the greatest book of the New Testament is Ephesians. Oh yes, I love the Gospels desperately. In fact, I don't see them necessarily as a four books. I see them as a collection of books that are magnificent in and of themselves. But today, I just want to focus on the epistle of the Ephesians to the people in Ephesus from the Apostle Paul. It is the most beautiful book. It isn't comprehensive in all of the kind of ways the Gospels are, but Ephesians, I jokingly say, Ephesians is my book. I'll be happy to loan it to you, be happy to share my book with you, but you're going to have to give it back. I won't charge you any rent, but I will come for you if you don't give me back my book, Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that you being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to just wrap yourself around those two phrases that are that phrase, rooted and grounded. Those two words, rooted and grounded. That by being rooted and grounded in love, we would come to comprehend is what the rest of that says. And so I want to talk to you about what we ought to comprehend by being rooted and grounded in love. I'm often here to tell you, I am no final word kind of guy on love. I do not practice love perfectly. I practice love as a pilgrimage. Hear that? Hear that? Hear that? I do not practice love perfectly. I practice love as a pilgrimage. It's my journey. It's what I'm hungry for. It's what I'm reaching for. There was a time, I'll be very honest with you and tell you, there was a time many years ago in my pastoral experience that I would dread preaching or teaching on love, because every time I did, somebody inevitably would come to me and bring to me my love failures. Somebody would be instant in my face, instant in my office, instant on my phone to tell me how I had not loved them well, I had not loved them perfectly, or how I missed love, or how they didn't see that I was a loving person. And I used to feel so defensive about that, and it caused me to dread preaching or teaching on love. But that experience in itself caused me to stay more and more rooted and grounded in love. I decided that no matter what the reactions may be, I was going to keep pressing on. And I've come to understand that by being completely vulnerable about my own experience, it disarms the critics, or at least it should. At least brings me to a place of safety, gives me a life jacket to float on the ocean of their criticism. So I stay above that by saying consistently, hey, don't expect me to be perfect in love on any given day. In total, at the end of my life, I hope somebody can say, well, you know, he came about as perfect in being a loving human as I could imagine. But even with that, I am painfully aware of my shortcomings. I'm painfully aware of my own slips and falls and face plants. I'm painfully aware that I have not done it all right every time. But I am also powerfully aware that I'm a pilgrim, that I'm journeying, that I'm climbing a mountain, and I am not going to stop all the days of my life. In fact, I'm convinced I will never stop in all eternity to be an explorer, a professor, a researcher, to be a mystic, if you will, about love. I'm convinced it's probably the most misunderstood value of all spirituality. I don't know how else to say it. I'm also convinced that in my own life that I waited too long to let it become the focus, the rooted, grounded focus of who I am. So there you have it. And again, as I've said here many times, I welcome you to my pastoral study. Come on in. I've been at this for almost 50 years. I've got a few things I'd like to share with you. I got a couple of ideas I'd like to hand over to you. I'm giving it away for free. It cost me an awful lot, but you don't have to spend what I've spent to get the understanding and wisdom that's been so graciously given to me. So come on in, get a cup of coffee, make yourself comfortable, and I'd like to share with you, I'd like to give you my counsel for this next 20 minutes or so. I believe in this wide, wide world of experiences, there is no greater experience, there is no more thrilling experience than the thrill of love. And yes, love has its moments of thrill. Yes, moments where you just will always remember the moment of that expression of love, that expression of deep romantic love or deep parental love or deep love from a child to parents or deep family love. There will always be some friend or some acquaintance that loved you so clearly and so specifically that it just gave you that mountaintop. But I'm also convinced that love is an invitation to a lifetime of that experience, a lifetime, a timeline of life. So that when you look over life, you can honestly be a person of a review that love has been your steps, your groundedness, your rootedness, whatever else came your way, whatever else pulled you up and tossed you into a ditch, love invited you back to the path. Love in itself is the most powerful human experience. In and of itself, it will carry you through all other experiences. Ugliness. Oh boy! I'll jump to the end of the broadcast. I always end this broadcast with a few regular comments, and one of the things I say is, "Get out there and do something beautiful," because oh baby, ugly has been done to death. Ugly has been done to death. The recent experience that we've watched in horror of the man who drove his SUV through a parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and killed so many people and injured so many more people. That's ugly. That's the ugly that life will always seem to serve up every so often, just to remind us that there are still broken, miserable human beings in our world who don't know love. Love on some level has been so absented from their experience that they have no other view but to cause pain where they are in so much pain. So I always say here, do something beautiful. Be a person who, you know, a terrorist will go into a crowded room and do something ugly. Why don't you be the opposite of that and go into a room and do something beautiful? Just do something magnificent in the middle of a room where everybody has to step back and say, wow. Rather than looking at the ugly and saying, oh, wow. Be able to look at the beauty and say, wow, ugliness. It just screams for our attention, doesn't it? And in our lazy moments, we will stare at ugliness. You know, we will just look at it. It's like an accident on the highway. You slow down and we call it rubbernecking. You see the emergency lights on the highway and you know there's been an accident and you don't want to look to see if there's something bloody or horrific, and yet something in you just drags your head to turn, and traffic on the other side of an accident slows down, not because there's any kind of real traffic problems on the flow side of this, but because people are looking at the accident. Ugly screams for attention. And in our lazy moments, and unless we're rooted and grounded in love, we will stay focused on ugly. We will stare at the ugly. We will measure the ugly. We'll quantify the ugly. We'll discuss the ugly. We'll find somebody who will agree with us how ugly was. And we'll try to find out in our own experiences, well, I've had that kind of ugly. I saw this kind of ugly. And the other person will say, yeah, I had ugly too. And then ugly did this and ugly said that. And ugly erupted in front of us. You know, we'll dance all around that for forever in our laziness. However, I'm convinced that when we stay rooted and grounded in love, we'll find a gratitude that becomes a fierce determination to just keep inventorying your life for the beauty that's been living quietly everywhere. Beauty's out there. It's not absent from any of us. We have, all of us, opportunities to go find beauty. One thing I would suggest is that you keep some kind of diary about your experiences, that you keep some kind of listing of how you've seen something beautiful, how you had a beautiful conversation with someone. But it requires a determination. It's a fierce determination to keep inventorying your life for the beauty that's been living quietly all around you. Take it in. Just as if, you know, if you could reverse the idea of rubbernecking at an accident on the highway, how about just rubbernecking at the beauty? Turning your head away from the ugly and turning your head toward that which draws a sense of gratitude for love. Keep yourself rooted, grounded in love so that the nourishment of the soil under your feet is feeding a love central, a powerful circuit board in you that is just dragging the power of love up into your system. Fyodor Dostoevsky said one time that we should love all God's creation, both the whole and every grain of sand. Love every leaf. Love every ray of light. Love the animals. Love the plants. Love each separate thing. If thou wouldst love each thing, thou wilt perceive the mystery of God in it all. St. Francis of Assisi used to look at the tree and say, good morning, brother tree. He'd look at an animal and he'd say, oh, welcome to my sphere of life, sister rabbit. He had a real personal and he had a real impersonal encounter with love himself, and he had a consistent a groundedness, rootedness in his thinking and in his desires, that he kept himself looking for love. He kept looking for love in the rabbit and in the tree. Somebody might accuse you of being a tree hugger. Hey, listen, I'd rather be a tree hugger than a destroyer of nature. I'd rather be accused of being a naturalist and a lover of nature than to be a hater and a waster of the resources that have been generously poured out on us. When Dostoevsky said that we should love all God's creation, the whole and every grain of sand, it reminds me of how that we're not real good, are we, at being rooted and grounded in love. You know, to take off your shoes if you can, if it's warm enough, and walk a sandy beach and feel every grain of sand and how magnificent it is. Many years ago, when my wife and our kids were on a vacation, I twisted my back horribly, and we were so far away from home, and we were on a car trip, and oh my goodness, my back hurt. Oh, it was a sharp lightning strike to my back, and it was everything I could do to not pass out. And all we had done was just stop at a fast food place just to grab a quick bite to eat for the road. And suddenly my back went out. And I remember, I'm going to survive. I just felt like, wow, this may land me in the hospital. It hurts so bad. Well, we were close to the Gulf of Mexico, and just in our need to slow the trip down a bit and to take in things, we went out to the beach, and I think it was Gulfport, Mississippi. And we walked the beach. I was walking quite tenderly. I was hanging on for just my balance. But with every step in the sand, and every moment I would pause and look at what was in the sand below, a little seashell or some kind of stone or something, and I'd bend over to pick it up very slowly, very tenderly, with every movement, every step, and every just savoring the moments, letting my feet feel the sand, my back just healed. It just completely relaxed. It stayed a little tender, but I went from excruciating, just mind-numbing pain to a relaxation because I let my feet feel the sand beneath me. Ginger and I talked about it for years, how it probably helped my posture. It helped me to line my body up a little bit. I had a chiropractic moment with the beach in Gulfport, Mississippi. What's my point? My point is what Dostoevsky said, that we should love all of creation, both the whole and every grain of sand. That is to be rooted and grounded in love. Yes, you will find reasons to stare at the ugly, but I'm urging you now to stare at the beauty, stare at the love, drink in the love, drink in the moment, drink in the sense that love is the greatest of all human powers. Love is the highest mountaintop that we are, each one of us, on a pilgrimage to climb. Love is not only that experience that you're invited to, love is life itself. And if we will love all of creation in some form or another that way, we will discover a more beautiful and grateful life. A life that has a sense that if I can look at the simplest thing and drink in what it is, I'm grateful. I sense the speed of the message that's coming from the littlest thing, how life really is good. Last week, I was leaving my house at a very early moment, and the sun was rising in the east, and I just glanced out my vehicle window, and kabam! It was like an explosion of magnificent beauty. I couldn't grab my phone fast enough to grab a picture of it. I was in somewhat of a hurry. I couldn't linger, but I grabbed a really quick picture. And ever since I posted that picture on social media, I've been so gratified at how many people have responded now over a week. And in fact, even to this day, someone responded to it about how beautiful it was. People even reposted that picture. I never expected that. I just thought I'd grab a moment that was important to me. And you know, the rest of that day, as much of a hurry as I was in that moment, when I paused just for a second to just take in, drink the beauty of that sunrise, the rest of that day followed that pattern. I had a very intense and busy week leading up to that, and a pretty busy day that day, but it was productive. It was useful. It was enjoyable. At the end of that day, I came home and I told Ginger, my wife, I said, I had so many great experiences today in the face of all the busyness. So here's my point. Stay rooted, grounded in love. Remind yourself as often as you can to find some beauty. Find the beauty. Look at the beauty. Feel the beauty. Drink the beauty. Absorb, say thank you to the beauty. And like St. Francis of Assisi, look at a tree and say, oh, good morning, brother tree. You're looking good today. Or to find a squirrel or a rabbit and say, oh, hello there, sister squirrel. Hello there, sister rabbit. Aren't you cute? Aren't you lovely today? That's what it is. That's what being rooted and grounded in love means. Now, I just want to finish my thoughts today with you about this whole rootedness and groundedness in love, and urge you to understand that having a spiritual life isn't complicated. It does require attention, and it does require your full attention, and at least a growing attention, maybe not full in any, in any given space in life, but getting more full as days go by. That real spirituality is the result of love. I know people who want to have and experience spirituality. I have myself. I know people who have had great spiritual experiences, but they can tend to become flashes in the pan. I've grown accustomed lately, in my late 60s now, of saying, you know, when I was young, I really enjoyed shiny things. I used to really enjoy those things that were brilliant and magnificent, that would just get my attention and say, ooh, I want one of those. But now that I'm old, I've come to appreciate the not-so-shiny things, the smaller things, and to understand that spirituality, while it is an experience, is something that is built into our system. That, yes, you can have a spiritual experience, but if it's absent love, that experience will be fleeting. That experience will be here today, gone tomorrow. And I would urge you to stay rooted and grounded. Remember, that's what today is all about. Rooted, grounded. When you have roots in something, that's where you're drawing nourishment. When you're grounded, that's what causes stability. It gives you a level place to stand where you're not tipping one side to the other. To be rooted and grounded. And it creates an opportunity for your spirituality to be long-term, your spirituality to be an experience, yes, but to also be an experience that doesn't just rise fast and fall as fast. And I want you to understand everything I'm saying here, and being rooted and grounded in love, is very practical. I don't want to give you handles on life that aren't practical. I want everybody that's listening to have some sense. That they could say to themselves, I could do that. I could do that. I could look at a rabbit. I could look at a tree. I could stand barefoot on something that's, you know, like a sandy beach. I could do that. I want everybody listening to know that you can do this. This isn't some esoteric, highbrow, genius required to do this. No, this is every human being, every child, every mom, every dad, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. This is your opportunity to be very grounded, to be very rooted in love. I try to practice this on levels where it is meaningful in everyday life. It's practical. So if I'm in a long line, I remind myself in that moment, stay rooted, stay grounded. Don't drift. Don't get impatient. Doesn't it always seem that when you're in the most hurry, when you really got to get going, that's when you get in a line that just goes on forever. That's when you're on hold on that telephone call. That's when that elevator music is playing over and over and over. Yeah, but I'm telling you, those are the moments. Those are the real human practical moments to be reminded. Stay rooted. Stay grounded. Keep your heartbeat with love. Keep your breath with love. And you can make it through anything, anywhere, anytime. It's not easy. And I'm not suggesting that this is some kind of snap your fingers, not at all. If you've heard me at all today, you're hearing me talk about being people who are determined that we're not going to stare at ugly, but we're going to look for the beauty. Well, as we close today, I'm going to invite you back again to practices that I think are that do have a contribution to being rooted and grounded in love. I believe that our breathing is very important. I believe that when we're sick, I think your body says, hey, give me some good breaths. Give me some opportunity here to breathe evenly and deeply. And so when I tell you to breathe with intentionality, I'm not trying to be a doctor for sure, but I am trying to get you to pay attention to how you can stay rooted and grounded. So on the count of three, I want you to take as deep a breath as you know how and as you're physically able. Pull it into the bottom of your lungs. You know what I mean? Up against the diaphragm, way down below just at the bottom of your rib cage. Hold that breath in there and hold it for just a few seconds, all right? One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it in there. And exhale. I believe that that's a simple experience that everyone can do. You can even help a child. If a child is worried or afraid, share with your child, your grandchild, or some little one that you're responsible for. Just say, hey, okay, breathe with me. And when you start breathing, they'll mirror what you're doing. They'll parrot your breathing, and that'll relax them. That's what it's doing for them. But you know what else? It's doing it for you. You're not being as uptight and tense. And of course, then that child sees you're being uptight and tense, and they're going to mirror that too. Breathing. It's a good Sabbath in every day. And the second thing we do every time we gather here, if you're going to be in the No BS Bishop Pastoral Council, you're going to hear me say, I want you to look somebody in the eye. I want you to give them your full attention and say the three most charmed and magical words in the human experience. And those three words are, I love you. That's a rooted and grounded experience. That's a rooted and grounded behavior, and it'll carry you forward in life. I so appreciate you being here. I so appreciate you giving me the honor of your time and trusting me with about a half an hour of my voice and the wisdom that's been given to me. I am no doctor, no professor. I'm simply a pilgrim, and I've learned a few things that I long to give to those who need whatever it is I've got to give. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I am the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love are simply BS, but I believe love is the root and the ground upon which we are all invited to stand. Now, go out there and do something beautiful, right? Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.